Did he say? Oh, yeah, we got to do the right thing here. Okay, there we go. Hi, guys.
Hi.
How's everybody? Wow, we got a nice, cozy group tonight. So I thought, I'm going to watch my time, make sure I don't go longer than I should. But tonight we're talking about the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And before I get into, I will say this, the notes that you have are so well done that Myron put together. And there's a lot of detail and a lot of great scripture and a lot of stuff to read and study and dig into. I'm going to make sure that I give you all the fill-ins on those notes, and we won't miss a thing about that. But I want to talk a bunch off the page as well about the Holy Spirit, and also give you a little update on what I do here at Grace Chapel and a little bit about my family and stuff like that. So I've been here at Grace Chapel with my wife Diana for almost 11 years now. And we come from Syracuse, New York. We've been in Tennessee for 32 years. Diana and I have been married for 46 years. And we have two kids, two grandkids, a son-in-law, and life has been great. We love it. We love it in Tennessee. So here at the church, I'm a pastoral care pastor. And that means everything from counseling, marriage counseling, premarital counseling, officiating weddings, officiating funerals. I look after the prayer team. I'm also responsible for Celebrate Recovery and just a variety of things, visitation. You know, somebody's sick, we go to the hospital and or their home or do whatever to try and bring comfort and love to the body. Many people, there's a number of us, I think, that have a great family group where we circle the wagons in a crisis, but there's a lot of people here that, although this is my church family and our church family, this is the only family they have. So we want to make sure that nobody goes through something trying or uncomfortable or crisis without having the kind of support that we know the Lord would want us to give each other, and I know the kind that I would want to receive as well. So I'm in pastoral care. The Holy Spirit has been active in my life for many, many years, even before I had a personal relationship with Jesus. The quick story about my conversion was based on my wife's conversion. We got married in 1970. She hadn't seen her dad in about 12 years. Her mom and dad got divorced. I'm a second generation Italian American. My wife is first generation. Her father was raised in Italy, and they got a divorce when she was a young girl, which really, it's not popular now, but it was really not popular back then. So we had our first baby in 1970, and one day in our little apartment in upstate New York, the phone rang, and I said hello, and there's a man on the other end with a very thick Italian accent, and he said, "Is Diana there?" And I said, "Well, who's this?" "Yeah, let me go get her. Who is this?" "It's her father." So this was, you know, 12 years. She was a little girl. She's now 21 with a baby, and she got on the phone. They had a conversation, and to shorten the story a little bit, he had invited her and our daughter, Nikki, to go to Florida to just kind of reunite. He had heard that he was a grandpa, and he wanted to just reunite with his daughter. And I thought it was great. I was playing six nights a week as a musician. So for me, I mean, I just go do my gigs, and I could make my bologna sandwich. I was going to be okay. So I encouraged her to go, and she did. And she was going to go for a week, and the week turned into a month. And every time I would call her, it was all good. Every time I call her, she'd say, "We got a lot to talk about. We got a lot to talk about." And I'm thinking, what in the world has happened down there? So she flew home after 4 weeks with Dad. He was down in St. Petersburg area. And come to find out, he had gotten saved. And he was the pastor of an Italian church. And he would do the Italian service. And the other associate would do the service in English. And he had called Diana because he wanted to bring her down there during revival week. And he was hopeful that she would come to know Jesus. So we were raised in the Catholic Church, like a bunch of us from up there. So we had a sense of God. We knew who God was. We had reverence and love for God, but we didn't know what we know now. We didn't have that close personal relationship. So Diana flies home. She gets off the plane. She's got her little daughter. She looked beautiful. She got off the plane. You know, she's got the tan. Her hair was, I mean, I hadn't seen her in a month. I'm 22 years old. Come on. You know. So she gets off the plane, and I look at her, and I'm expecting her to run into my arms like, you know, slow motion and all that. She walks right up to me with all of, you know, Diana Kua boldness. She says, "You got to get saved." Just like that. I said, "Saved from what? What are you, you know?" I had no idea. She goes, "Come on, let's go. We got to talk." So she was on fire for the Lord. I mean, totally so zealous. She had found Christ through a Messianic Jewish believer that was there for the week at the revival. And she told me, you know, subsequently that she said, "This man's Bible was falling apart. It was like held together like with dental floss. This guy was, there was highlights and colors and underlines and pages falling out." And she said, "I finally realized that, wait a minute, that's my Jesus that he's talking about." But she didn't know Jesus the way he did. And that was what did it for her. So she came home and, you know, it was what you would imagine. You know, I'm thinking, oh boy, I got the first time, you know, it's hallelujah and praise the Lord. And I'm thinking, I got a nut on my hands now. So we'd be laying in bed and she'd pull out a track. "Give me a track. I'm 22. She's 21. I hadn't seen her in a month. She wants me to read a track, right?" So, you know, so I'd read it and you know, she'd say, "Well, do you believe it?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I do, because I did. I mean, I'm Catholic. I know Jesus. I did my catechism and all that." You know, and she said, "Well, do you want to pray?" And I said, "Well, not what I had in mind for tonight, but are we taping?" "Oh, we are, aren't we?" Yeah, sorry, Myron. But anyway, you know, so she was so wanting me to know Jesus the way she knew Jesus, just even in that short time. So it was 5 years later for me. This is a long time. I'm living with her. She's on fire for the Lord. I'm out in clubs playing till 3 o'clock in the morning, night after night. But yet she was faithful, and she'd get up with our kids and go to church. And finally, I started to go to church with her because, I mean, I love my wife and I love my family. I wasn't like totally crazy. It's just that she had discovered something that was way out of the box for us Italian American Catholic people. So I started going to church, and little by little, something was starting to happen with me. It was starting to penetrate a little bit. And finally, the thing that did it was I saw, and maybe some of you guys will relate to this, I saw the way believers loved one another. It wasn't just, I was kind of tribal, you know. If they were the cool people, what I thought was cool, you know, if they looked like me, dressed like me, talked like me, liked the kind of music I liked, then we were all good. But not that I didn't dislike anybody else, but I wasn't going to be real eager to just spend a lot of time and hang out with them. You know, you kind of find your people, you know, birds of a feather. And I saw all these unusual folks coming together, loving each other week after week in church, going to lunch together, big hugs. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit, again, this is all related to our topic. The Holy Spirit just got a hold of me and said, "You don't have that, but you want it, don't you?" And I did. I wanted it bad. I had this thing in me where, oh my gosh, my thinking is not right. It doesn't line up to the way God wants me to think. So I accepted the Lord. And I actually went forward 3 Sundays in a row, to the point that the next week before the altar call, before service started, the pastor pulled my wife aside. "Would you please tell your husband, he's cool, everything's good, he doesn't have to come again." Because I wanted it, and I wanted it, and I wanted it. So even in those early days, God was working on me. It's amazing it took that long. If you see my wife, just stop her and say, "Are you okay?" 5 years, you know, it's a long time. And maybe some of you you folks here can even think, if it's not your own story, maybe somebody that you know where there was an unbelieving spouse and it really took a lot of patience and a lot of time. But that was the Holy Spirit working in my life. So I've always been a musician. That's part of who I am. Love to play my instrument, love to write songs. For a number of years, I made contemporary Christian records, toured with a secular band before that, and just this was how I made my living. And the minute I got saved, I started writing songs for the Lord, and I started praying to the Holy Spirit, to God, and just to tell me what, whatever audience you give me, God, tell me what they need, because that's what I want to write. So there was a bunch of, I was a much younger man then, and our audience was pretty much kids and, you know, young ones, and wrote a song called Young Boy, Young Girl, you know, love is great, sex can wait, that type of message that was so needed, and
still
it is still needed, especially because some kid would come up to me and say, would you play that song, Oh Boy, Young Girl? I said, no, it's Young Boy, Young Girl, not Oh Boy, Young Girl. So, you know, we had to kind of settle everybody down. But it was, we had two teenage daughters, and it's like, you know, I was preaching that message pretty strong. And then there was another time, you know, suicide is an issue still today, very rampant. The statistics are horrible, you know. So we wrote a song called Don't Say Suicide that spoke to that. Again, with our teenage daughters, we were nervous. Cover of Time magazine back in the early 80s. And our oldest daughter, Nikki, had a chemistry set in her room, and we got so freaked out. When she was at school, we took the chemistry set out and hid it. And I mean, we got a little scared that our kids would fall into that same trap that a lot of other kids did, because there was a lot of peer pressure. You know, in those days, we moved from New York. I mean, we came down, and Nikki had a little blue ponytail. And I mean, this is 32 years ago. I mean, we were New York people in the school. Everything was kind of normal up there. And we came here, and it was lovely and charming. But it wasn't, you know, it was hard on our kids. The hardest thing was the spelling tests that they would take. Because, you know, Nina would come home in tears. Dad, I didn't get it right. I didn't, you know. And I said, well, what happened? Well, there was this one word that it was oral. And, you know, the teacher, she tells the word and it's wawa. I said, what? She says, the word was wawa. I said, what's wawa? She says, it's, you know, like the civil wawa. You know, because they would add syllables. And so there was that kind of struggle. And so I'm thinking, I got to write stuff. I got to encourage these kids. I got to do whatever I can do. So anyway, Holy Spirit stuff, you know, and crazy. But I'll tell you what, where's the mic? I love the South. I really do. It's charming down here. And it has gotten so sweet and wonderful. It's changed in a lot of ways. And I'm sure the rest of the country's changed as well. But it was God who brought us here, like I'm sure you guys all, you got your own God stories about, right? Tennessee, Nashville. No, it's a good place to be. So what I want to do is tell you a little bit about just kind of like some cliff notes on the Holy Spirit. Again, Pastor Myron has put together, as he always does, notes that are so in-depth, right on, worthy of digging into and studying. And when you know, in your free time, you go home and, you know, read these scriptures, study this stuff, get your concordance out, do what you've got to do. And we are going to go through all these questions just to get the missing words written in. But I want to give you kind of like a bunch of bullet points that's kind of bottom line stuff from how I see it and my relationship with the Holy Spirit and what the scripture tells us. And I hope that this will be a kind of a helpful beginning to that. So first of all, and much of this, guys, is stuff that you already know. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, we all have different, I'm not a theologian myself, but we all have been with the Lord for some time, and that we have different understandings of things. So if it's yes and amen stuff, then just go with me. if there's anything that's a little new slant to you, well, that's great too. But basically, you receive the Holy Spirit at salvation. That's where it all starts. Our God is a triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You accept Him, comes into your heart, you have the Holy Spirit there. The Holy Spirit is a person, not an it. He's part of the Trinity. And we at salvation, we get this indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our heart. So that's number one. You have the Holy Spirit if you're saved. You've got it since salvation. When we pray to be baptized in the Holy Spirit or filled with the Holy Spirit, or we want to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, it's the analogy I like to use. It's a couple different things. One is, you know how there's a pilot light on your gas stove or your water heater at home, and it's that little, that flame's hot. You put your finger on it, it's as hot as the big flame. It's a pilot light, right? And it's kind of like, that's salvation. When you pray and ask to be filled and just be totally immersed in the Holy Spirit, it's like the knob on the stove or the heater gets turned up and that little flame turns into a big flame. And that's when there's a lot of empowering that happens that goes broader and deeper than just from the Holy Spirit that you get at salvation. The other thing too is, do you know what glow-in-the-dark toys are? Those glow-in-the-dark things? So when we were kids, we had all kinds of stuff that glowed in the dark. We were fascinated by this. And being young Catholic kids, we had Jesus. We had all the saints. We had the nativity. We had the farm animals. We had everything in glow-in-the-dark. It was, I'm serious, it was like a city. There was five of us in our family, my sister and I was the oldest, and my sister Christy. We'd get under the covers with our pajamas on, and it was great. We're little. We just set up the city, you know, all the glow-in-the-dark stuff, and we're having fun, and oh, where's baby Jesus, you know, doing all that business. And then all of a sudden, the glow would come down a little, right? And so, you know what we had to do, right? We had to gather those things up, we put them in a little basket, and we went and we took the shade off the lamp and we put the light bulb right in there, and we charged it up. Now we got back under the covers, and now the city, it was daytime in the city, you know. And that's, again, to me, that's an analogy of the Holy Spirit. I mean, when we pray and ask to be filled, it's like, oh, it's here, it's big, it's magnificent, it's bigger, and He's ready, if we're ready, to speak to us and for us to hear what He has to say and the empowerment that we get from the Holy Spirit. And it's something, and the scriptures will tell you this, it's something it's a continual event. You don't do it once. We talked earlier about the armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. Well, nowhere does it say to take it off, right? But like you were saying, We've got to be prayed up. We've got to be ready. We got to ask. You know, we got that armor on, but there's something else that we have to do. And it's the same with the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit, but we have to ask and pray to be filled. And when you do, then the Holy Spirit can do within us in a grand way what His job is. And that's number one. The main job of the Holy Spirit is to point us to Jesus. The Holy Spirit doesn't serve a private agenda. And the Holy Spirit is not, this is going to sound weird, but I think you'll know what I mean. The Holy Spirit, although God, is not the main event. The Holy Spirit has a job to do and a purpose, and He is part of the Trinity, an equal part of the Trinity. He's all God, Jesus, all God, God the Father, all God. So the Holy Spirit has a job, and that's to point us to Jesus and to point others to Jesus and to equip us for ministry. I've got to imagine there have been times for all of us when we were in a conversation with somebody, maybe on the phone or in person, out getting a coffee, going to lunch, whatever. And all of a sudden, the conversation turns to you know, well, how are the kids? How's your husband? How's your wife? How's school? And now it turns into something that's a little more serious. And all of a sudden you realize in the middle of that conversation, wow, I may be expected now to speak into this situation with some kind of wisdom and some kind of counsel and some kind of encouragement. And maybe in those moments you're thinking, Lord, I got nothing. I got nothing for this. And that's when you start praying in your heart and you just ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. Lord, fill me with your wisdom. Fill me up. Fill me up. And then all of a sudden something comes out of your mouth that the minute you say it and they kind of light up a little, you think to yourself, wow, that was good. Right? But it wasn't me. And that's when you say, Lord, thank you for that. And then all of a sudden, another little bit late, here comes a scripture. God, yes, yes, yes. And before you know it, this wilted kind of flower that you're talking to, all of a sudden, life comes back into them because the Holy Spirit is working through us into their hearts, and it's making a difference. And that's what we do with our relationship with the Holy Spirit. We want more wisdom. We want to be empowered. We want recall, you know, and we want to say the right things. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will let us know that, just tell him you don't know the answer to that. But you will find out and you will pray. And just, or just, you know, don't use a lot of words today. This person, just hold this person. Love them. Cry with them. Whatever. It's Holy Spirit stuff. And that's the joy of it. And once we can figure that out, then we can just come and show up. All we have to do as believers, listen, the word says study to show yourself approved. Study. Dig in. Do that. But really, if we got the Lord with us and the Holy Spirit with us, even when we feel it's in our weakness that his strength will flourish. And all we got to do is show up. We got to just be there with the right heart. And the love that we show others is going to cover so much. We go in and we pray for the truth. We wrap it in love. And we don't give it this way. We give it this way, you know. Because truth be told, there are some times where we're the counselor and sometimes where we're the counselee. That's just the way life is. It doesn't have to be an age thing. It doesn't have to be a social thing or a class thing or any of that. It's anyone to anyone else. We all have moments where we need to receive, and then we have those moments where we give it out. The Holy Spirit's available for us, and we already have the Holy Spirit. But our job now is to ask for more. Pastor Steve, in these last, more than a little while, has been kind of setting the table for us for more of the Holy Spirit and to see more things happen. And so let's be prayed up about that, knowing that, yeah, whatever God's got for us, we want that. We want it in an authentic way. I don't know what kind of churches you guys have come from. I would assume in most classes we have everything from very conservative, you know, all the way over to Church of Christ and even more conservative to, you know, charismatic, Assembly of God, Pentecostal, and churches like that. But have you guys ever been involved in very charismatic type of settings? Some of you? A few, not many. Right, couple, right, yeah. And if for those that have been in those settings, I would imagine there have been times where it just was authentic and awesome. And then maybe other times where you're thinking, this is getting a little weird right now. Right? We're human. We're human, you know? I mean, and we can't be afraid. We've got to just go in and just trust God. And many people, I think the hearts of believers are to be obedient to God and to receive as much as they can from the Lord. That's why a lot of times in these settings, you know, I don't know if you know the term slain in the spirit. Somebody lays hands on you, prays for you.
Twice.
For you?
Yeah.
Okay, you just went down. You were just, the power of the Holy Spirit just overtook you. Out like a light.
Yeah.
That's what God can do. Yeah. And along with that, there are some folks that God may not be doing something in that moment, but they want to be so obedient that I know I got the mic, I got to be careful, but we like to call it a courtesy drop, you know, where, you know, well, they're working so hard and you want it so bad. This is not an indictment on anything. All I'm saying is when you want God, you're willing to yield and do whatever it takes to be in that stream, right? The thing I want to remind us is that we've got to look for what's authentic. And when it feels right, we know it's right. And when it's a little strange, then know that if your discerner is telling you this seems a little odd, there's a good chance it could be. So what does that mean? You freak out? You run out of the room? No. You just pray. Pray and ask God. I can't tell you how many times there has been an altar call, not for salvation, but for other things, even to the point of it was a kind of an A to Z altar call. And I can remember walking, literally getting out of my seat and walking down the aisle to the altar and all the while saying to the Lord, Jesus, I don't know why I'm going. I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this for you. Please show me. I don't even know why I'm going, but I'm doing it for you. That's that heart of obedience. And for a lot of folks, they have that heart and they want more. And I think unless we desire it that bad, sometimes we're not going to receive it. But again, what you got to know what the Word says about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's job is to point us to Jesus. And if it becomes, if the main reason for this 90-minute service becomes an exhibition of manifestations, then you got to say, okay, to what end? You know, guys, I'm not smart enough or wise enough or in the Lord long enough or qualified to poke fun or to judge anything that's going on. I'm just friend to friend saying the Holy Spirit's operation in our lives is magnificent. But when you look in the book of Acts, the church that had the most Holy Spirit activity was the church of Corinth, right? And the church that had the most issues was the church of Corinth. So I'm saying, want it all, open your arms, open your heart, and be discerning. Study the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit do? What's his purpose? How come there was continual filling in the Bible? Continual in the New Testament, over and over. Same people getting filled again and again and again. We have to be wise and we have to be discerning. Let's go after the Holy Spirit in a big way. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to continue through these notes, and I know we're going to have some questions at the end, and I think we're pretty good on time. We're pretty good on time. Oh, I got my card. Okay, this is like the gong show right here. So yeah, yeah. So I'm going to finish up by going through these notes, and then you guys will have your small group time, and then I'm in here, and any question, I'm not saying I'm going to have an answer for all of it, but I will do my very best. We can talk about whatever you want. If there's anything I shared, any piece of it that was a little confusing, we didn't talk about speaking in tongues, we can talk about that. Anything, that thing that you're saying, well, it's Holy Spirit night. I hope he talks about. Well, if I didn't, we'll talk about it before you go home. All right? Okay. Understanding the Holy Spirit. Number one, He is by far the most misunderstood, is the word, person in the Godhead. He is beloved and held in high esteem by the Father and the Son. He is a person. He glorifies Jesus. He was a companion to Old Testament believers. He empowers New Testament believers. There are different portraits of the Holy Spirit in Scripture. Number 8, the Holy Spirit can be resisted. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. The Holy Spirit responds. The Holy Spirit is the Comforter. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of adoption. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of holiness. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of grace. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of supplication. And as you can see below, there's a lot of supplemental material. And again, I honestly can't stress enough how good these notes are and how complete they are. It's way more material than we could ever dig into in a session like this, but it's here for you. And I'm going to let you guys get in your small groups, and then I will be back for some questions. And thanks for listening.
Don't forget, these are the questions you want to ask in your small group. And then, as Rick said, you'll have questions for him as well, hopefully. What I'd like you to do tonight is to break into small rooms, and only one will have three. But to meet with someone that you haven't sat with before and any of the other nights that you've met. So, except not your wife.
Oh.
So, yeah, break up spouses. And we'll be